McKenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Oh. And rounded toe. No, it has to be a thick low heel and a rounded toe.
Okay.
Thick low heel, rounded toe with a little fringe.
You know, something comfortable.
Yes, and a bit of a bell bottom to it.
All right, we got to stop.
All right.
This. Okay.
Stop. Okay. Three, two.
Stop. You stop.
No, you stop. No, you.
No, you two stop. Good morning. And welcome to Happy Hour here on K104. Don't ask people, just ask. It is Jonathan Spilbor, it is Carol Pesci, and it is Frankenberry. For some reason, we have taken this morning to adding the word pants to everybody. So we've got pesky pants, we've got Spilborg pants, and we've got berry pants all with you this morning on Happy Hour.
No, you're not berry pants, you're skeptic pants.
Oh, I'm skeptic pants.
Yes, you're skeptic that is correct. Pants.
Or cynic pants, you choose.
Or cynic pants. I like cynic pants. That has a little bit more of a ring to it. But anyway, thank you everybody out there for joining us again this week on Happy Hour. Ladies, how are we doing?
We're doing good. We're starting our morning by laughing, and boy, it doesn't get much better.
That's a great way to start the day.
No. Exactly.
And we're doing it by making fun of each other, so even better.
We're like a little.
We are very good at making light of ourselves, which is a good thing anyway.
Well, you know what? All kidding aside, that's one of the things I love about the dynamic of the three of us is we can make fun of ourselves. We feel safe in doing that and with 100,000 listeners, but we can make fun of each other knowing that we really love and respect each other. And that's why it's easy because I never feel that sense of filter that, should I say that or shouldn't I say that? What are they going to think? I feel because, you know, I love you and I can say whatever I want. Right?
Exactly.
Skeptic pants and flannel pants.
Exactly. Like for instance, you know, every time that Jonna gets overly dramatic and thinks she's going to die,
we can laugh
about that.
See, if there ever comes a day that you two or that all of us can't poke fun at each other, then we know there's a problem. Like, when, you know, it's like being in grade school when the boy pulled your ponytail is because he really liked you, not because he didn't like you. And that's kind of how we all pull each other's ponytail.
That's how it should
or
be.
Or something. Yeah. Well, hey, look, this year, doesn't this year mark the 10-year anniversary of us starting the show?
Oh, my
I think it does. It does.
It could.
Seriously? In September, yeah. Though. We started in September.
I know. So we're not to the month yet, but this is the year. But I think after 10 years of making fun of each other, we're safe.
Yeah, I think so too. Mm-hmm. I think so too. But it's so funny how you could, not that I was even planning to talk about this, because I do have something that I want to talk to you guys about, an actual dirty little secret, a literal dirty little secret. It's funny that you were talking.
Ooh, I can't wait.
Well, no, it's not even, it's not scintillating. It's just something kind of funny.
Well, don't tell us that. You have to leave the tease out there.
Oh, okay. So I want to talk to you about a literal dirty little secret. Now, the word literal should have you going, okay. But it's funny that that you just brought that up. Like, we can talk to each other safely because I have there's a little family feud happening right now in the Spilborg clan. Yeah, and all based on a tiny little argument that people had over a disagreement about these darn vaccines, basically. And
it's a controversial topic. Yeah.
Yep. And it's caused an actual feud that it's been about a week and it's still ongoing. Yeah. And I'm a little, you know, and that kind of thing wouldn't happen with us because we can say what we feel and and you guys will agree, disagree, whatever.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And it's a little, I don't like it.
Yeah.
You know, life is short. Life is short. We just came off like a horrendous year. And it's not like when we rang the bell for 2021, all our woes stopped. I mean, we still have, you know, woes that are going to linger from all the stuff that's happened, the pandemic and politics and all that. And, you know, if nothing else, we should all sit here and say life is too short to waste a minute on anything that makes us unhappy, uncomfortable, aggravated, say it, whatever. And, you know, because
I agree.
Have a choice.
I'm taking my bra off choice. Right now. I'm done with it. I agree.
Lucky you. All right. So do you want to hear what I wanted to talk to you guys about? Because it's simultaneously mildly embarrassing, but I could be on to a little beauty secret.
Is this your dirty little secret, or was the family feud?
Oh, no, the family feud is something I wasn't even planning to bring up. So I'm just going to leave that there because I'm not going to get too into it.
And we won't ask you for details or who's on what sides of what. We'll just leave that.
Well, hopefully by next week.
And then
Frank
and Barry and I will we'll text talk about you afterwards.
Okay. Of course. Yes.
Wait, Barry, you want to go in the kitchen and talk about it now? I haven't gone in the kitchen in a while.
Let's go in the sitcom kitchen where they can't hear us 5 feet away.
Can you believe she's got family members that aren't talking to each other over a vaccine? I can't believe it. No,
I can't.
Hopefully it'll be over by next week and then I'll talk all about it. And we can talk about how to resolve family conflict. But okay. Now, let me give you a little bit of a backstory. I don't know, Carol, how often you wash your hair. And I know kind of like 2020 with people on lockdown, maybe our grooming habits changed a little bit. I don't know. Maybe mine really didn't, except for way back when we were locked down and I had, 3 inches of new growth, as they used to call roots. But you guys know that I'm in a relationship with a much younger man who is very, very concerned. I forgot what it was like for men in their 30s to be consumed with their hair and their hairline and the prospect of losing hair and blah, blah, blah. So it just so happens that my much younger boyfriend picked up a habit of, or he thinks it helps him not lose his hair. He washes it, shall we say, fairly infrequently. I know. And initially that would like gross me out. Like when he came to me, this is probably a couple years ago, and said his new, method for maintaining his hairline is going to be, he's only going to wash his hair every fifth day. I was like, oh, heck no. That's disgusting. But lo and behold, he's maintained that. And I must say, he has a very healthy head of hair. Now, completely by accident, fast forward to last week. I don't know what was going on with my schedule, but for some stupid reason, I didn't have enough hours in the day for a few consecutive days. And one of the things I learned way back when I used to have to get up at 4 o'clock on a Saturday morning to do Fox and Friends on the weekends, is I learned how to streamline my routine and what things could get cut out in a pinch. And it's actually a gift. But anyway, I...
You do say so yourself.
I can hear that pat on the back.
So as it happened last week, I can't even tell you guys what it was that was had me going in a million different directions. But long story short, I had to employ my skill in getting rid of some of the things from my routine. And so the first thing that went was I said, okay, I'm not going to wash my hair. Now, to save, a half hour. Now, let me sidebar one other time. Way back a million years before the much younger boyfriend, I worked at a law firm where we had a receptionist who had the thickest, healthiest head of bleach blonde hair. Now, for the women out there listening, and maybe some men, you will know that if you process your hair, it can get pretty ratty. Mm-hmm. And she processed her hair, but she had, it was so undamaged. It was almost like she was wearing a wig, but she wasn't wearing a wig. And I'll never forget this. Her name was Sarah. And I was like in my 20s at the time. And she was maybe in her late 30s. So I thought she was like old. Little did I know.
That's a moving target, ain't it?
So I remember having a conversation with her one day, and she was talking about her hair and how she keeps it so healthy. And she said to me, I only wash my hair once a week. Ooh. And again, I was in my 20s. She was like late 30s, maybe early 40s. So I thought that was an old lady thing. And I was like, yeah, no, not happening. And then it would come back again to bite me when I started, you know, this relationship with my much younger boyfriend. And then lo and behold, last week I had to cut hair washing out of my routine for, I'm not going to lie, 4 days.
I know.
4 days I went without. Now, I showered. I just didn't wash my hair. Well, lo and behold, now, I thought sure. I was pulling it off pretty good. I didn't tell anybody what was going on, that I was too busy, that I wasn't washing my hair. And, you know, I have hair products that you can put in your hair in all phases. And my much younger boyfriend came up to visit, and because he lives in the city, and he's like, "Wow, your hair looks great." And I didn't tell him. I did not tell him that I hadn't, that I decided to just to be him. I decided to be filthy for 4 days. And then I told him, like, "You're not going to believe this, but I took a page out of your playbook. I haven't watched this. This is day four." And he's like, "Your hair's never looked better." Could this be, my much younger, worried about his hairline paramour, be onto something when he says you should really only wash your hair like once a week? Is that a thing? So I'm now, this week, I'm intentionally testing it. Last week was, I had no choice. I didn't have time. This week, I'm putting it to the test. And I know I'm a little embarrassed to say it,
but
what?
Oh, you
faded out.
You left us hanging there as we lost you for a second. That was actually a perfect cliffhanger. Go ahead. Finish it up.
I said, this week, I don't know what part of you lost me. I said, this week, I am intentionally testing the theory and the program, and I'm intentionally not going to wash my hair for 4 days. And right now, I am on day two to see if maybe last week was a freak thing. Maybe, you know, I don't know. And I'm going to have to show my 4 day dirty hair to somebody other than a boyfriend to see if, you know, like maybe they agree with it, like a coworker or mother or somebody.
Yeah. I don't know how your mom would take that.
Well, I wouldn't tell her. Like, so you can't tell if you're going to conduct a test like this, you can't tell people. You've got to just like show up and wait to see if they look at you weird or give you a compliment, an unsolicited compliment. That's how you test.
I mean, eventually you're going to tell them, though, is what I meant.
Oh, at some point, yeah. If my theory turns out to be true, because listen, guys, it does save you time not to wash your hair every single day.
No, it saves you time, Jonna. It wouldn't save me any time at all.
Jonna, prior to this experiment, mm-hmm. Were you washing your hair every day?
Prior to this experiment, I was washing my hair no fewer than 5 times a week. Okay. You know, once in a while, I would skip a day.
Jonna, I have read these theories before, by the way.
The no hair washing theory.
Yes, the no hair washing theory. Something about you're washing out the nutrients that your hair needs, yada, 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 yada. And, you know, I've always, as I read them, dismissed them as poppycock. But, you know, maybe.
Poppycock.
Maybe.
Poppycock. Poppycock pants.
That's right. That's right. Whoever wrote that. Oh, listen, Mr. Poppycock pants. I think that's just silly.
Isn't poppycock a snack?
I have read these theories before, so it's, you know, other folks have thought the same thing.
So yeah, like, I don't think anybody is, the theory isn't something brand new that no one's ever thought of before. I just always dismissed it myself as like, oh, there's no way I could get away with that. But I think there could be a way to get away with it, you know, especially like, you color. I mean, we look, women get to a certain point in life and we do color our hair. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody?
That does, like, irrelevant to washing, though.
I was just going to say, you're not, you know, coloring your hair is one thing. It's coloring dirty or clean hair.
Well, and I will say this. If you wash your hair less, your color will last longer. Other than your, what'd you call them? Not roots. What are they called now? New growth.
New growth. Right. Yeah, but don't get me wrong, you guys. It's not like I'm going to all of a sudden start sprouting dreads. Like, that's a whole different level of, you know, not washing. Because in order to have them, you have to I think in order to have dreadlocks, you have to not wash your hair. You might even have to add dirt to your hair to get them to stay.
I don't know.
And you have to own patchouli.
Yes, you do. It's mandatory.
Yes.
I wouldn't be able to go 4 days. And that's not just from a judgment standpoint of like, I have very fine hair, and 4 days, just, you'd know it. It would be bad news.
Oh, well, you know, I didn't even think of that.
Your hair type. You have really thick hair.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but Donna, you could swing from tree to tree with my hair.
You and your young paramour, at least you're on the same page here. You know what I mean? So it's not like you're a couple where one side of the couple is saying, I haven't washed my hair since, you know, the mid-80s. And you're saying, that's gross. Get out of my house. So,
oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? You two are at least on the same literal dirty little secret page together.
Oh, you know, you could turn it into a thing too, John. Saturday could be like your let's wash each other's hair day.
Oh, God. That would never, ever.
I could just see
happen.
In a bathtub with some candles, slowly massaging each other's scalps. It's
wild. I love getting my scalp massaged. That's my favorite part of going to the hairdresser.
Oh, my God. Mine, too. I even have one of those little scalp massager things so you can massage your own scalp.
Oh, my God.
It's called like the orgasmatron or something, because it does. It makes you feel that good.
Yeah. Well, there's so many nerve endings in your scalp. And I think if they tie to so many other parts of your body, I get goosebumps all over when I get my head rubbed.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. And also that's what we should have a guest on one day who talks about that. Like the whole reflexology thing is amazing. Like your feet, your hands, your scalp, like it's life changing.
Uh-huh.
But speaking of life changing and beauty, I'm that was pretty awesome. That was pretty awesome. I just did there. One. Yes. I am extremely excited to be talking to today's guest, because she's not just like a beauty god or a beauty mogul. She really
she's
all those things. But she's actually, because I'm in the middle of her latest book, which is called Believe It, How to Go from Underestimated to Unstoppable. And so with that said, we're going to be, after the break, talking to Jamie Kern Lima. She is the creator, the founder of IT Cosmetics. And there probably isn't a woman within the sound of our voice who isn't going to perk up and say, I know her. But she's got a tremendous story that we're going to dive into. Talk about, you know,
from broke to billionaire,
finding a solution to a real problem and just not giving up until she brought that to the masses. So we're going to talk all about her story, her book, when we come back with the founder of IT Cosmetics, Jamie Kern Lima, when we come back.
All right. That sounds good. And Jonna, I just want you to know, by the way, this adds a whole new layer to being turned down for a date when someone says, no, I have to do my hair tonight.
Do you really? Is it hair wash day? That's what it's known in my house, is hair wash day. But it's every other day for me, because it's like, oh, well, my shower will just be quick because it's not hair wash day. I do every other day.
Okay.
Well, I'm only going to wash my hair as often as I wash my dogs. There we go.
All right. We are happy hour here with Jonna Spillmore and Carol Pesci. We've got our guest on the way, and please stick with us. We'll be right back.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's happy hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's happy hour with Jonna and Carol.
Good morning again, and welcome back to Happy Hour here on K104 with Jonna Spillmore and Carol Pesci. And it is time now to get to our guest. And Jonna, I know you're chomping at the bit to introduce her, so please go ahead.
But just wipe the drool off your chin first before you start, please. Okay?
I know. You know, I've been thinking about how to introduce our guest, Jamie Kern Lima, this morning, because I have a couple of competing thoughts. Number one is, I could gush for our entire, 15-minute interview, but that would be doing our audience a disservice, because she's got so much information and inspiration to give that I don't want to spend a whole lot of time doing that. but I can't really help it because Alan Klein is Jamie Kermlin. Now, if anybody has ever watched QVC, if you're into makeup, like a lot of us are, I know I'm a total girly girl. I love her products. Jamie is basically the founder of It Cosmetics, which is a product that really walks the walk. And she's also the first CEO of L'Oreal, who incidentally purchased It Cosmetics for over $1 billion. But people, Jamie, before all of that happened, basically invented her product line, her brand, in her living room with her husband, and didn't have $1 million in her bank account at the time. So she's got an incredible story. She's written a book about her story called Believe It, How to Go from Underestimated to Unstoppable. And guys, I'm going to tell you, I'm 10 chapters in, can't put it down. Jamie, thank you for being our guest today and welcome to the show.
Jonna and Carol, thank you so much for having me. Thank you for such a beautiful introduction too. Thank you.
Well, I almost took a page out of your playbook, because one of the themes in your book that we're going to talk about is you are incredibly authentic. And yep. In fact, one of the themes in your book is you can't fake authenticity. Mm-hmm. And normally, Jamie, I'll be honest with you, like when I'm introducing a guest to the show, I typically write down what's going to be said and I keep it concise and then I just read it on air and then we go. And I couldn't do that with you. Like, there's just so much I want to say. Your accolades are just incredible. So I just blurted. That's what I did with you. I blurted, for lack of a better word. So, Jamie, if you don't mind, because I've been a fan of your brand for a long time, because you created a cosmetic product to solve a specific problem, and lo and behold, it worked. And I think that's part of the reason for your incredible success. Can you just give our listeners, in case they're not familiar, a quick backstory?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I created a company called It Cosmetics, as you mentioned, and started it in my living room. I grew it to, it's crazy, because it was really, it started, what a lot of people don't know, and really why I wrote this book is out there when you just Google me or the brand, you kind of just see the highlight reel and you see things like Denny's Waitress Builds $1 billion Company. And I get messages, as I'm sure you guys do every day, right? From so many people that are sharing their stories and saying like, oh, did you just get lucky? Or did you have connections or a lot of money? And then they'll share how they're not getting traction with their idea or their dream, and they're thinking about giving up. And I realized like why I wrote Believe It is to share the real stories behind the stories, which is that, it was 3 years when I started this dream. It was over 3 years of hundreds of no's and rejection from literally every beauty store and beauty retailer and department store and expert and QVC. And it was really a journey, not just of building a company, but of figuring out like, how do I go, like, how do you believe in yourself when it feels like no one else does? And mm-hmm. how do you break through that barrier of self-doubt that we all have and learn to trust yourself? And so that's really what the book is about. It's like how to believe in yourself, how to trust yourself, how to go from doubting you're enough to knowing you're enough. And, I'm so grateful and that, It Cosmetics is what it is today, with millions and millions of customers and great products. But the thing that I think is the most important for all of our journeys in life isn't like the outcome, right? It's the stuff we go through and how we figure out how to overcome it and how to kind of step into all of who we are and all of who we're born to be. So yeah, I'm founder of It Cosmetics, sold it to L'Oreal for over $1 billion, all those things. but it wasn't looking like that was going to happen for a whole lot of years. And, most people that, I put on a pedestal as experts and people I love shopping in their stores, and none of them believed it was going to work for a long time. And it was so many closed doors and a lot of underestimation.
One of the things, Jamie, this is Kara. I'm sorry, Jonna. That you talk about in your book that resonated with me is really knowing and sticking to why you're doing what you're doing, because that has carried you the why. You hired experts to consult you and tell you how to handle your release on QVC. You paid them, and they're the experts, and you trusted your gut. And you stuck with your why, which was to make your cosmetics approachable that would connect to real women. And it's just such an epidemic these days of what we compare ourselves to that isn't real. But you not only stuck with your gut and your why, you stuck with that through your book, you stuck with it through your business. And I feel like that has been like your ground when all else was swirling around you, when you cried yourself to sleep more than once. Was the biggest piece of advice is to really know why you're doing what you're doing.
And I think it can be whether someone's launching a business or running the, you know, happy hour radio show, or just has a personal goal in their life. A lot of times, even in our regular goals, we write down like maybe health goals or family goals or fitness goals, whatever they are. A lot of times, you know, even attaching a really important why to one of those and then challenging yourself to go deeper, right? A lot of times we see companies have their mission statements on the wall. But for, you know, real people, I think it's as important that we figure out our own why and attach a why. And exactly what you said too, Carol, is that, you know, like with you know, all of the rejection and the setbacks and the hardships, I think if I hadn't have done, and by the way, there's so much I did wrong, which I talked about all that in the book too. But one of the things I did right was really identifying the why, like why I was doing what I was doing. And then I peeled back the layers on it and went deeper to like the why beneath the why that made it so meaningful to me that, you know, even when I got another rejection, or even when we got down to, you know, at one point we were under $1,000 in our company and personal bank account combined, which meant we only had a few more weeks left before the company was going to go under. And, you know, in those moments that are hard, I think when we have a really powerful why. And here's the thing I want to share too, just with all your listeners, because I think one of the biggest mistakes that people make is they come up with a why that sounds really good. And then they share it with other people and they're like, oh, that's amazing. And then they stop, but it's actually not deep enough or meaningful enough to them personally to keep them going. And what I mean by that is, you know, I had rosacea, which is a hereditary skin condition. And, you know, I was working as a television news anchor and I thought that's what I was going to do my whole career. And that was in my dream job. And my rosacea was getting so bad that I, you know, I'd be live on the air and I would hear from my producer in my earpiece, there's something on your face. There's something on your face. You need to wipe it off. You need to wipe it off. Ugh. And I knew I couldn't, there was nothing I could wipe off. I knew it was that, you know, my rosacea my cheeks get so red and bumpy that the makeup I was wearing would break up. Almost like how desert clay kind of cracks and redness would come through. And so I went through this kind of season of what I thought was a setback in my career, thinking, you know, am I going to get fired? Am I going to lose ratings? I tried every makeup out there and nothing would work. And two things happened. I had this realization, like, I was like, why can't I find anything that works? And I realized my whole life, I'd always seen beauty ads on TV and in magazines. And I never saw anyone with rosacea showing a product that covered it. I always saw flawless skin. And I realized, like, while I loved all the ads I always saw, that even as a little girl and then later growing up, they always would make me feel like I wasn't enough. And so I had this moment just to share with everyone, because I think it's something we could apply to our own lives and our own goals, where when I, you know, realized, okay, I need to, if I can create something that works for me, I bet it'll help a whole lot of other people. But when I created the company, I went really deep personally. And what I mean by that is, like, I could have just said, oh, I want to create a product that solves my problems, and that's my why, or, oh, I want to help millions of other women. And that's my why. And if I stopped there, while those two things would be true, and a lot of other people would say, oh, you wanted to help so many other people, that's amazing. If I would have stopped there, I don't think it would have been deep enough for me to keep going. And what I mean by that, and this is just for anybody doing the work on like a goal with identifying their why, is I peeled back the layers and I went way deeper and I identified like, okay, if I do this, if I, you know, launch this dream, I don't just want to create great products. Like I actually want to shift culture in the whole beauty industry and use real women and people of every, you know, shape and size and skin tone and age and skin challenge. And I want to try to shift what is that definition of beauty that's out there everywhere for every little girl who's about to start doubting herself and every grown woman who still does. And that for me was a deep why, because I realized my whole life, it made me feel not enough. So identifying that why is like one of the things I really leaned on during all the times when Sephora said no again, or QVC said no, and I cried myself to sleep and didn't know how we were going to make it. Or, you know, I even had some investors say some pretty terrible things on why they wouldn't invest in the company. And I think it's just really a unit. It's one of the things I talk about in the book, because I think that so many people give up on their dreams, or they think it's too hard, or they second guess their own gut, or they, you know, failed to follow through on a goal or whatever it is. And a lot of times it's as simple as not doing that one piece of really peeling back the layers on even what you think your why is, going deeper, and then really leaning on that when you need to, when times get tough or when you feel stuck.
That is absolutely key. And you do delve completely into that in the book. And I actually wrote a note to myself to remind me to tell our listeners that, because from reading the book, you are a great example of that. What we see as observers of someone else, or as consumers of a product in this case, is not the whole story. There's a whole other side to someone's success. And in your case, you truly walk the walk. One of the things I really admire about you, and that comes out in the book, is it almost seems unfailingly followed your gut and your intuition. Like even the example, the story that you tell about, and again, if people have seen you on QVC, I don't think that, you know, the suits wanted you to wipe your makeup off initially, but you were like, ah, you know what? This is where I'm going with this. And it was genius.
You know, thank you. I believe we all have a knowing, like every one of us has a knowing. And I think it's always right. And I think that it's literally like our greatest journey in life is learning how to hear it and trust it and trust ourselves. And mm-hmm. I think what happens is the noise of our own self-doubt get so loud. Like a lot of people haven't mm-hmm. even heard their own gut in a long time, let alone trusted it. But the noise of our own self doubt, also other people's opinions, right? A lot of times we have a partner or friends or family, and they all mean really, really well, but uh-huh. like we share a thought or an idea or anything with them, and we instantly feel our vibration lower because they give us their feedback through the lens of their own self-doubt or their own experience or their own fear. And so we have that noise going on. And then we have, you know, in some cases, like in my journey, we have lack of success around us of our own idea for a long time. And so many times those things get so loud, or experts telling us, you know, that they don't believe in us or passing on our idea or whatever it is, they get so loud that we don't even hear ourselves. And, you know, one of the kind of the big, I guess, my big hope and prayer for this book is that, you know, everyone who reads it really, really rethinks, reconsiders, and is really much more intentional about learning to hear their own inner knowing and making the decision to trust it. Because yeah, exactly what you said, like in my journey, a lot of people just see the outcome. And you know, what's wild is after how many years, almost 3 years of hearing no, we finally got a yes and got one shot on QVC. And what that meant was, we had a 10-minute window to go live, right? And mm-hmm. QVC's live, broadcast live to 100 million homes, and there's no script and no, you're live and no teleprompter, nothing, right? And you go live, and we got one shot finally in this 10-minute window. And here's what was going on, that I just felt it was so important to share this for the first time, because, you know, again, we always see the outcomes on social media or the highlight reel. But like, the real story was after 3 years of no. And, you know, I even share like a behind the scenes story in the book about how the head guy, who's a visionary, literally told me, you're not the right fit for us or our customers. And it was a unanimous no at one point with all the buyers on QVC that It Cosmetics would never do well there. And it was years of this. And so we finally, and I shared this whole story too in the book, but finally got this one shot. And here's the thing is, you know how we all kind of know like what we stand for and what we value and all that? Well, I was in a spot where all of a sudden everything was on the line that kind of challenged everything I believed in, because, you know, it was at the point where we were under $1,000 in our bank account. I didn't know how we were going to make it. And we got this one shot, this 10-minute window, and we had to either hit their sales goal. So they were going to let me air my concealer by my under eye, and we either had to hit their sales goal or not come back. And you guys, at the time, we were still only selling 2 to 3 orders a day on our website, like packing them up, shipping them out of our living room. Couldn't, you know, it was really tough times, barely keeping the lights on. We still hadn't paid ourselves at all. And so literally every penny was just going to keeping the business alive. And so when we got this, yes, it was huge. And I found out that I needed to hit their sales goal. I needed to sell over 6,000 units of one product
in 10 minutes.
In 10 minutes. So I'm sitting there going, oh, but I sell 2 to 3 a day. And they want me to sell 6,000 in this 10 minute window. Right. And the other part of this was, it was consignment. So what that meant was we had to figure out how to pay for manufacture, ship in all the product. And then we wouldn't get paid for it until it sold. And if I went on the air in that 10 minutes and it didn't sell, it would all be shipped back to us, which meant we would definitely go bankrupt and go out of business. So everything was on the line. Yeah, no pressure, right? And so I was like, okay, so we applied for SBA loans and 22 banks said no. It was the 23rd bank that said yes. And we got a loan just for the amount of, just to fund that one purchase order for the initial QVC launch. And so everything was on the line, and I flew out to Pennsylvania. QVC is about 30 minutes west of Philly. And I sat in this rental car every day for a week, literally staring at the front door, knowing like the next time I walk in, I'm either going to walk out like the happiest person in the world or completely bankrupt. And here's where the dilemma happened. We hired third-party consultants who are awesome. They help a lot of people succeed on television and selling their products in stores. And they all told me the same thing. They said, okay, you have one shot in 10 minutes. Here's what you need to do. You need to book this type of model, use this type of model with flawless skin. And they told me to do what had always been done before. And I said to them, but that's not why I'm doing this company. Like, what if I just take my makeup off, show my bright red rosacea? And what if I show like real women of all ages and shapes? And they were mortified. And they're like, listen, and we would argue about it. And here's the thing. They wanted me to win. They were giving me the best advice they knew. And I would just say to them, like, if I'm a woman sitting at home watching this, and let's just say I'm 75 and maybe I have tons of hyperpigmentation like most women do, whatever it is, how do I know it's going to work for me if I see someone on air who doesn't look like me? And it just didn't make sense in my gut. But I think so many times in life, the noise of experts or other people's opinions or what's been successful before is so loud. And then our self-doubt kicks in. And when I sat in that parking lot, I literally prayed and cried and felt so much self-doubt over, maybe I'm wrong. It hasn't proven right so far. Maybe I should try it their way, all those things. But it came down to this one moment where I imagine like who the woman was listening on the other end and watching. And for whatever reason, I don't know why, I kept imagining a single mom in Nebraska who was folding laundry and like had too busy to remember she even mattered and was beautiful. And like, I just imagine her, if she was going to bless me with 2 seconds of her precious time and turn on QVC and see me. Like, I just had this moment in the car where I realized I'd rather her look up at her screen and see me showing women who look like her and calling them beautiful and meaning it, even if she bought nothing. I'd rather do that than sell a crap load of product and stand for nothing. You know what I mean? And so it was like, I knew what I had to do, but it also isn't easy sometimes when we know what we have to do. And when I walked in that studio, the 10-minute clock was there and on the floor. And what I learned shortly before, by the way, was when it goes like 9:59, 9:58, if you're not in your live on air, if you're not hitting those sales goals live, they'll cut your time live. Oh, you're not even guaranteed. Wow. Yeah, you're not guaranteed the whole 10 minutes. So you might not be doing so well in the first minute or two, and boom, your clock goes down to 2 minutes left, and you know you just lost everything. And anyway, so I was shaking like crazy. Like, I remember the sweat literally, I was hoping my Spanx like caught the sweat, you know, because I was on national TV. But I remember, you know, the clock started in that 10 minutes and I showed my bright red before shot with my bare skin and went to all models of different ages and shapes and sizes and skin tones and skin problems. And it was like a minute left in the 10 minute cell. And the host says, "The deep shade's almost gone. The tan shade's almost." I was like, and I was freaking out. And then like at the 10 minute mark, the huge sold out sign went up across the screen. I started crying.
Wow.
I remember my husband came running through the double doors and I'm like, "Real Women is spoken." And he's like, "We're not going bankrupt." And it was this whole thing. And anyways, that one airing turned into a 5 that year, 101 the next year. And we eventually built what is right now at this moment in time, the largest beauty brand in QVC's history. But I only share that because it was 3 years of no's. And, you know, someone listening to us right now probably just needs to hear stories like this because maybe they're in a season that feels like setback or rejection or people are telling them they're not enough. But when you know, when you check in with your gut and you know you're supposed to keep going, you know you're doing what's right for you, that's when you have to listen to yourself and trust yourself, even when it's hard. Had I not done that, it would be a whole different story today.
I love when you know, when you know. I know when it drops in and it's like, you don't even question, you get that feeling. Jamie, I a couple things I want to say to you. One of the messages that you shared that I love so much, it's so powerful, And whether you, I don't know yet whether you directly say it in your book or you're just living it, but those things that we quote, air quote, perceive as flaws can be amazing opportunities. You what you had as, and I air quotes again, flaws, your skin, this rosacea, which caused you great pain with your self-doubt, is the reason you're doing everything that you're doing today. So that message for other people, that whatever flaws you have in your life are opportunities for you. The authenticity that you show through everything that you do, you had a massive competitor copy your product with a much bigger bank, much bigger resources, and try to launch it. And they were unsuccessful because it wasn't authentic to their brand. That was like what you're teaching us through what you write through your book and through your living is so powerful. And the final thing, no, I want actually two more things. One is you say that you're redefining how we see beauty and definition of beauty. You're doing more than that, Jamie. You are redefining how we see ourselves, everything that we've experienced in every aspect of ourselves, and encouraging people to show up fully as that. And that is like a beautiful, powerful message.
Thank you.
And finally, I do have one more question. I know John probably has something she wants to say as well. Your cover photograph, is one of the bracelets on your wrist one of the ones that you and your two moms wear?
On this photo, no, but I have that bracelet. Yeah, no, I have that bracelet. Oh my gosh, I guard it like with everything.
I bet you do. People have to read your book to hear that story. It's beautiful.
Oh my gosh, crazy story. One of the bracelets on my wrist is from, I share the story of how sometimes our circle around us, like maybe we're not raised with or around a circle that really supports us, and we don't want to like leave those people because they're family or friends. But I talk about the importance of building a new circle as well, and bringing people into your life that maybe don't look like you or raise like you or sound like you or vote like you or pray like you, but they actually champion your heart and your dreams. Yep. And anyhow, I talk about how to do that, because a lot of times people think they're stuck and they just don't have the support they need. You know, but sometimes the circle we can build looks different than the people we were raised around or the people we went to school with or whatever. And anyhow, the bracelet on the cover comes from, I share the story of one of the friends I brought into my life about a decade ago. She was raised homeless as a little girl. Oh. And eventually created this jewelry line. And she just this year got a chance on QVC. And so she went from homeless to 100 million homes with her bracelet. And yeah, anyhow, that's her bracelet there. But yeah, the other one that you're talking about too, Carol, is I talk in the book about finding out by surprise in my late 20s that I'm adopted. Oh. And this multi-year search trying to find my birth family, and also just repair trust when you feel like the people, we've all had loved ones. Unfortunately, we've almost all had loved ones that have pulled the rug out from underneath us and make us question, like, what can we trust and who are they? And I talk about that journey of forgiveness as well in the book. So yeah, one of the bracelets for that. So thank you for asking though. Oh, such a detail. I'm so impressed you remember that detail.
Jamie, I know we have to wrap with you soon and there's so much more that I want to talk about, but can I have 1 minute of fun with you? Because, and the reason I want to do this is you share so much of your personal life in this book, as well as, you know, how you got to where you are. And I thought it would be fun if we could, for those who are listening who haven't yet read the book, Believe It, I want to get a little more personal insight with you. And so I usually do this, I play this game that's a takeoff on, I don't know if you know Andy Cohen, he's got a late night show called Watch What Happens Live, and he does a game that he calls Plead the Fifth, and I've coined it Plead the Filth. And I just sort of copy his method, but they're a fun question. So I have like a bunch, but I'm only going to ask you a couple.
Tell me how to play. I know his drinking games. I know his drinking games, so, but I don't know this one. How do I play?
So I ask you a question and you just have to answer honestly. That's our version of it. Okay. Got it. So here's question number one, because you are, and clearly, especially once more people read your New York Times bestselling book, I should add, Believe It, you are going to be a lot of people's superhero. So my first question to you is, who is your superhero?
Okay. I have a bunch of them. I mean, if I just think right off the top of my head, I mean, I want to say my mom, of course, my mom who raised me. But also I would say Oprah, because, she, you know, I share, oh, you guys have, oh, you're going to get to a chapter and you're going to be, because if you're on chapter 10, so I share later in the book a little bit about how I knew since I was a little girl I was going to meet her. I just felt it. Mm. And then I talk about how I did. I talk about how she was the first person to read my book cover to cover and give me like really direct feedback, which I love. And I talk about the time, and with her blessing, I would never share this without her blessing, but I talk about how I ended up having lunch with her at her house. And in that moment, I learned I need to stop being a people pleaser. This example of someone who had overcome so many of the emotional things that I've, you know, for any person who's dealt with like people pleasing and, you know, abandonment issues, all kinds of stuff. I had one of the most profound experiences all in a lunch that kind of showed me like what's possible for me to get to emotionally. So for that reason, I would say Oprah. And you guys there's more coming up in the book. Just wait.
I can't wait. I'm on chapter 6.
See, this is so funny. This is not a question that I'm going to ask you, but I wrote down one of the questions that I potentially was going to ask you for this game is you, Martha Stewart, Oprah, and Sarah Blakely all go out to lunch. Who picks up the tab? Because you're all billionaires. But okay, we'll move on.
I pick it up because one of my favorite things to do is like make sure that I call ahead and pay.
Donna does that.
Even when I had no money, I don't know. I think it's fun to do when people know you think ahead about them. You know what I mean? So I would
do it. Okay, one quick question. Two more quick questions. What's one thing on your bucket list?
On my bucket list, here's one thing on my bucket list, is to wear a bikini and not freaking give a, can I swear? I'm not going to swear. Literally to not give a, like not give, wear a bikini and fully freaking feel free and have not a second of those thoughts that imprison us. And I'm not there yet. And you know, one of the things I talk about and believe it at the end is the stuff I'm embarrassed to admit that I'm not there yet at, and how I'm so aware of the prison I've created around things like body image and things like that, that I'm really working hard to break free of. So that would be something. 'Cause if I could do that and just freaking feel 1,000,000% free, that would feel like the greatest victory. And that's something I want, not just for me, but for every person, and especially for my kids too. I don't ever want my daughter feeling the same kind of crap that I have felt growing up with that kind of stuff.
And Jamie, not to make light, totally, but that's my bucket list too.
Perfect. We can do it together.
Okay, there we go.
And by the way, he has a tattoo of the serial Frankenberry on his arm, so that'll be even better image for you.
Exactly. And then
what?
A pink bikini.
One last quick question to have fun with. You talk about, you know, your partner in life, your husband, Paolo, was with you, you know, this whole step of the way, every step of the way. And he sounds like an awesome guy. And so my question is, name one thing about Paolo that bugs the crap out of you.
Don't make or diss him.
Oh my gosh.
Don't do it.
I can name so many. Oh, you guys, anyone that's worked with a friend, well, you guys know this, but a friend, a partner, a relative, it is so hard. It is so hard. I think it is a miracle we're still married. And, you know, I actually really share the real hard stuff in the book. Like, it got to the point when we were working together, when my phone would ring and it was him. And I literally in my brain processed it as a work call versus a personal call.
Like, those lines are blurred.
The lines are blurred, and it really took a toll. A toll on our marriage. And I talk about trying to navigate that. It's so hard with those blurred lines, you know, to keep friendships and relationships. And so anyways, oh my gosh, so many things.
I would plead the filth on this if I were you.
I would plead the filth.
Yeah, you can plead the filth.
And I also live in Carol's big bubble world and ride unicorns over rainbows. Ask Jana. Yeah, so Phil, don't do it. That was enough.
All right, we'll give you a pass on that. We've been talking with Jamie Curry.
You guys, I should say, like, literally, there's no way. I mean, he is the biggest blessing in my life. So I love him with my whole life.
I would get back on my unicorn. Yes, I love it.
But okay,
but and that's also evident in your book. And I know, Jamie, we could talk to you forever, but we're wrapping up with Jamie Curlina. She's not just the inventor of IT Cosmetics and the first female CEO of L'Oreal in over 100 years. She's also written a New York Times bestselling book, Believe It, How to Go From Underestimated to Unstoppable. And Jamie, you have quite literally changed the face of the beauty industry, quite literally.
True story. And I
think there are millions and millions of women would personally thank you for that. The book is fantastic. I can't wait to finish it. I'm halfway through. And we really appreciate you coming on and being our guest today. You are amazing. You're just an amazing woman.
Oh, you guys, thank you. Thank you, Jana and Carol, both. And also, you know, I don't know if I shared this, but just so you guys know too, 100% of my proceeds are being donated from the book. So they're being donated to Feeding America and Together Rising. Yeah, I'm really just doing this because I believe when we go, you know, we all have a story. And my hope is, like, any person struggling with self-doubt, like, that this book is hopefully of service to them. And so I'm really just pouring my heart into it for that. And 100% of the proceeds going to Feeding America and Together Rising. So I'm just so excited. Amazing.
Beautiful.
I just got chills again. I spent this entire talk with chills. You're fantastic. Thank you again for sharing
Jamie,
your story.
Thank you so much.
Thank you both. Thank you for having me.
And Jamie, by the way, Jonna means good chills, not the ones you get from horror flicks. So thank you.
Yeah, when the universe speaks, I believe goosebumps are what the universe validating truth. Powerful
communicate
truth.
For that.
Jonna gets Jonna's got, you know, genuine, you know, goosebumps. Carol's got unicorn goosebumps. This is all you, Jamie. This is all you. But thank you so much. And donating those proceeds from your book is absolutely fantastic.
Amazing.
And this is Happy Hour here on K104 with Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci. Jamie Kern Lima, thank you again for joining us this morning. And we will be right back with segment number 3. So please don't go anywhere. This is K104.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
Good morning once again, and welcome back to Happy Hour here on K104 with Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello,
Frankenberry.
Oh, what the hell was that, Jonna?
I was just so excited still from our talk with Jamie Kernley, that it just popped out like that.
Oh, gosh.
You guys, you almost seemed like you were going to get on page.
I know.
Had to go and, I don't know.
Blurt it. She's a blurter. She's blurty pants. Blurty pants.
Blurty pants. She was just fantastic. Yeah. I would love to gush. I know that we don't have a lot of time, but oh, my gosh. Guys, if you're listening and you haven't picked up Believe It, it's a fantastic read.
Sure is,
Halfway through, and I can't put it down. So I put it down for today's interview, but I'm picking it right back up.
Me too. Yeah, very inspiring.
Mm-hmm. All right, yes, and thanks to Jamie as well for giving me a reason to work on my bod and put that bikini on my bucket list indeed. So you've been listening to Happy Hour here on K104, and we'll be back again next Sunday, same time, right here, 7 o'clock, so please join us again then. For right now and this week, have a good one.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.